Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think that your version would be so much better, no one would even care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
All right, we're back here for episode 2. Who would have thought we were going to make it past 1? It's kind of a wonderful event here.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I'm shocked we've had the follow through.
Yeah, the follow through, and we got more than 0 subscribers, which honestly, just so great.
Those are our sweet friends.
Yeah, thanks everybody for tuning in. So I guess some notes from last week. We got some responses on some creaky chairs, maybe, and for that one, you know, deal with it. Too bad. Not going to stand up and do the podcast. A little bit of vape background noise. That one's on me. Apologies for that. So we're gonna rip a real fat cloud here, get it all out of the way, and then we'll be done with it forever. All right.
Now with 50% less vaping.
Oh, holy shit.
So I did not listen to the last episode with headphones on. Is that what it sounded like?
Well, I mean, I got really in there for that one, but like it was more noticeable than I thought. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
You are just the worst piece of garbage. Yeah.
Ah, man, you sound just like my mom. All right.
Okay. Are you going to... We need to, you know, say the title and everything.
Oh, yeah, right. So, yeah, we're back with Faking Movies, of course. Man, the professionalism is on point this episode 2.
It has gone out the window in episode 2.
Yeah. All right, so now we got all that out of the way. Seth, you want to lead us off with the episode details?
Yeah, so this time, Zach and I watched Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, the most recent Pirates movie.
Appropriate amount of sigh, yes.
Yeah.
You guys are so excited for my version, I can already tell.
You know, I will say, like, the first thing I thought when I got out, I was like, that subtitle makes no goddamn sense. Like, maybe a little bit, but, like, they're just kind of making them up at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's just like, hey, here's a vaguely nautical-themed trope.
Yeah, it's like, well, Pirates 6.
That's kind of been the way it's been since the first movie, though, right? Every Pirates movie has had a subtitle, and they've all just been slightly nautical-related.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But, so, we didn't give any details to Lee whatsoever. Like, he just knows that it was the most recent still-in-theaters version.
We should say this was not like I wouldn't say this was a resounding group decision. Lee was adamant about doing this, so we were all collectively pretty excited to see what nightmare he cooks up here.
Yep.
Well, so I've seen the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie like 20 times. It's on Netflix now, so we just kind of watch it
20 times, so you're, like, sort of a fan. Like, you don't just watch something 20 times because it's on.
In 14 years, though, that's not that much.
So every Thanksgiving plus 6 is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
So I've seen the first movie a bunch of times, but I have never seen anything else from Pirates of the Caribbean. I have never had any desire to see another one of the movies. I've never read anything about the plots. So everything else that I know, I've kind of just pieced together from just memories of the trailers over the years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Without getting into this one, like, there's a lot of similarities. And the series takes a bit of a downturn, let's say, after 1.
I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous that this has gone on for 5 movies.
Disney, well, they've made money. They've made a ton of money.
That's true. Yeah. The last 2, though, have cost over $200 million each.
This one was $329 million, I think.
Holy crap.
That is insane.
$320 million, yep. But it made nearly double that. So yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I guess that's a good investment then.
Turns out. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Lee, why don't you just get us started and give us your version, and then we'll talk about the travesty that is this movie.
Okay, so that's... You're really giving me... You're giving me a lot of hope that my version will actually be pretty good, yeah. So...
I'll just say up.
You're basically the Globetrotters fighting the generals right now. Like, you can't lose. If you lose, something went horribly wrong.
Yeah, I'll just say up front, I just abhor this movie. This is such a steaming pile of garbage.
All
yeah.
right, cool.
But... So I actually very much like this movie, but like I like terrible things. I'm fully willing to admit it's a steaming pile of shit. So.
I mean, I also love terrible things, so yeah. maybe I will go see yeah. it after this episode ends.
Seems good.
I don't think you should.
Okay. All right, so basically what I thought would make a good... final Pirates of the Caribbean movie, because my version of the fifth movie is Whoa. Also the final Pirates of the Caribbean
wow.
movie.
Putting okay. your foot down. All right.
Yeah. This has to end, and it ends now. So, and I decided it should start in a way that I actually really dislike when movies do this. I think this is what George Lucas did a lot of in the Star Wars prequels that just didn't work, was... echoing scenes from previous versions. So in my Pirates of the Caribbean 5, we open on... I saw in the trailer that there's like a young teenage man in the story.
Yep.
And
yep.
I just kind of assumed it was Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley's son.
Man.
Don't give anything
okay.
away.
Okay.
So the first movie opens with Orlando Bloom orphaned, like on the ocean.
Yep.
Basically, he's lost his father. He's looking for his father. That's kind of one of the through lines.
Wait, are you calling this teenager Orlando Bloom, or this is like a flashback to actual Orlando?
I'm talking about what happened in the first one right now.
Oh, sure, got it.
Yeah. So in my movie, we open on a... I guess this dude was a teenager. Let's say early 20s guy. Bloom's son, who I'm going to call Bloomer.
Yep.
Yep.
And it's his...
Solid.
And it's his son. It's his son with Keira Knightley, and he's a little younger in this scene than we'll have him for the rest of the movie. She's telling him about his father and about all these amazing things. Oh, your father was this brave pirate, but he was an honorable. Oh, this bullshit. It's just a nice callback to the first movie where Keira Knightley encounters this other boy without a father.
Right. Okay.
So then. We're going to shift on, like, you know, we do a little pan across the horizon, and we see this kid in his 20s, and he's in a British sailor's uniform. And he okay. is on a ship in the Caribbean, and his commanding officer is that dude from the first movie who's in Coupling. I think his name is Norrington.
Oh, the naval officer from the first movie.
Yeah, the one who wants to marry Keira Knightley.
Yeah, who's mm-hmm. who's probably about 70 now. But yeah, we'll go with it. That's fine. Yeah,
yeah. Time is... My version has no time constraints. I need to get that out here right now.
Dude, weirder things have happened in this movie. So yeah,
go
for it.
Yeah.
Go
so
for
he's
it.
Grown up. He's serving on this naval ship with Norrington, who's older now. And Norrington's talking about... his father, and like, I knew your father, and he had such potential, and he wasted it by becoming a pirate, and like, you know, blah, blah, blah. Norrington sucks. We got to remind everybody about that.
Natch.
Uh-huh. So after this scene, we cut back. I noticed that Jeffrey Rush is still in these movies, which I thought was really yep. weird, since he very definitively dies in the first movie.
He is physically still alive as a person. Okay.
All right.
Yep.
So he is back. I'm assuming he's supernatural.
Wait, does he die in the first one?
Oh, yeah. Yep. There's a scene where he gets stabbed because Johnny Depp throws the coin back on the thing.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And he dies right before he gets to take a bite out of that apple.
Ah, yeah. Right on.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's like, his journey, like his arc just ends
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Or it didn't, because apparently he's still in these movies.
Yeah, sure enough.
he sure is.
So we've got supernatural... Barbossa, he's not alive, but he's not dead, and he still can't eat.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And this is when he encounters the other person that I saw was in this movie, Javier Bardem.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Ghost Javier Bardem.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That is in the trailer. Yep.
Yeah. And we're gonna get Javier's backstory, because like he kind of it looks like he's going to basically just wreck Barbossa and whatever crew he... I was going to say skeleton crew, but I thought that was a little too on the nose.
I mean, it literally, yes. So, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. from what I could tell in the trailer, Javier Bardem's backstory is that he hates pirates, he died, and he blames Jack Sparrow.
Yeah, okay. All
right.
So that's still going to happen in this movie. But what is going to actually play out in my version is, since all this supernatural ocean bullshit is part of this series, Neptune or Poseidon, whichever we can get the rights to, wants...
Wait, whom do we contact to get the rights to these people? ancient Greece?
Yeah, we can call Greece or the Pope, since he lives in Rome and is the king there, I guess.
That is how that works, I think. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, continue.
Javier Bardem is working for Neptune, and he is like this spirit of vengeance, kind of a Ghost Rider-like character.
Oh, go on.
Yeah.
Okay. Getting closer.
So
I like this.
We find this out, and this is right when we think, okay, Barbossa's dead. This was just fan service to write him off of the series. But really... Javier is there to get Barbossa to help him find Jack Sparrow. And he's like, oh, I can't do it. I have no idea what Javier Bardem sounds like because I can't do a Spanish impression.
But that'd be fun. Go ahead and try.
Oh, yeah, okay. Why not? We don't have any Spanish listeners. Who cares?
I mean, probably not.
Not anymore, we don't.
I think it's probably going to sound French, but... you help me find Jack Sparrow, I make it worth your while. And then he, like, has a bushel of apples or some bullshit, and it's like...
You sound like a bald Eastern European.
I can hear the cigarette smoke coming out of your mouth.
I have had two separate landlords in my life who are bald Eastern European men, so that's probably why.
It's in the psyche. Okay. Yeah.
So we see, you know, Barbossa, he has this, like, little smile on his face, and we know, oh, shit, he's gonna help Javier Bardem find Jack Sparrow.
Okay.
So then we cut back to that British naval ship, and we find they come across this derelict, just barely floating hunk of junk. Guess whose boat that is?
Well, Jack's, obviously.
It's Jack Sparrow's boat, yeah.
I mean, that I won't give you full credit for that. That has happened in literally all four of the movies.
Yeah.
So, and don't forget, guys. Jump in anytime you want and fix my movie for me.
No, you're doing great.
Yeah, you're doing
now.
Fine. Carry on.
So Bloom's son.
Right.
He comes across the ship and he's like, oh, it's Jack Sparrow. And Norrington's like, oh, I've waited for this day. And he's like, sir, let me do the honor. I'm going to take him below deck and like kill him or something. It's like, oh yeah, you've earned this. He's the reason your father's gone or something.
Pirates is getting that PG-13 rating coming up. All right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So basically, you know, he takes him below deck, and Jack, you know, he goes to Jack. Jack hasn't heard any of this. He doesn't know who this guy is. Yeah. And he tells him, hey, you're my father. And Jack is like, this is where we get Johnny Depp thinking that he's improvising charmingly, but really it's just insufferable.
Oh, hey, fancy that.
Yeah,
shit, you nailed it. You can stop there.
Yeah, it's like, I have no kids. What port were you born in? Like, you know, kind of backtracking back and forth. And it's supposed to be, it's not funny, but it's supposed to be.
Of course.
Uh-huh, yep.
So, he then, you know, he tells him, listen, I'm going to get you out of here. But we're going to... So that's when we get into, like, our first big swashbuckling scene. We had, like, a big supernatural battle with Javier Bardem a few minutes ago. But this is, like, good old-fashioned Pirates 1 swashbuckling.
It's like the ride. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We got some, like, sword play. We've got some cannons being set off and everything.
Yep.
So they escape. They escape on, like... I don't know, something.
A giant seahorse.
Yeah, okay, why not? All right, yeah, we can go supernatural. But they
that giant like snail from Dr. Doolittle. The old Rex Harris version?
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I can't tell if you're joking. He literally escaped on sea turtles in a previous movie. Like, I don't know if that was on purpose that you said that, or if you just like really nailed it.
So, they escape by supernatural means somehow, and like you see Norrington, because this is the last time we'll see Norrington probably, like, and he gets to do one more time. He's like, Turner, because that was Orlando Bloom's character, and like you can just barely make it out as they're going away, and that's when Jack pieces together, like, wait a minute, you're not my son. He goes, no, I just told you that so you'd trust me. Like, I'm Will Turner's son. I need you to help me find him. And he's like, well, you're a pirate now, son. Like, wink to the camera, all this bullshit.
Sure. We really do that a lot, don't we? We wink straight at the camera.
So much winking.
We have similar taste in, like, what is horrible about movies. It's kind of wonderful. Yeah.
I think if
we made a movie, it would be just terrible.
If I were a real director, at least 30% of the budget would go to twinkle in the eye effects when people wink.
Oh, yeah.
The EP's on set, like, you know, you have to tell them not to look directly into the camera, and you're like, no.
No, it'll be better this way. So, they're now escaped. Jack knows who this guy is. He knows it's Will Turner's son. And what they're doing now, we get to see this, like, kind of adventure play out a little bit, like, from the first one, where Will and Jack were going around putting together a crew to go find Barbossa. Now, Jack and Bloomer, the son, are going around meeting old associates, and it could be people that we've met throughout the rest of the series, and they're putting together this crew, and most of them don't want to join, but we get, like, the really popular ones do join up. But one thing that they learn during this sequence is that Jack is being hunted by Barbossa and Javier Bardem. After they learn this and they have their crew kind of together, they get attacked. And it's by Barbossa. But Javier is kind of like pulling the strings from behind. He just wants to catch Jack Sparrow so he could like really just torture him and lay it on. There's like this cat and mouse escape and attack montage. Lots of supernatural stuff, like waves coming up and swallowing ships and like all kinds of goofy bullshit.
A giant seahorse.
Exactly.
Shows up out of nowhere.
Like lots of CGI that in theory will look really good, but will look terrible because it's super uncanny.
Yeah.
So, as this is all going on, we're going to cut away from the Caribbean, and we're going to go to the Atlantic Ocean, like a little north, where we find out that Keira Knightley is not a pirate anymore. She's not a rich lady anymore. She's smarter than that. She's a privateer. And she is running supplies between the U.S. colonies, what will become the U.S. colonies, and England.
Wow. So, I feel like you've wandered way too far into the sensible realm.
Again,
well, we need to establish this bit.
Okay, no, that's fine. This is your nightmare monster, but like,
because this is where we're gonna get like, this is where we're gonna get our Helm's Deep the movie version of events coming from. Is gonna be this storyline here.
Okay.
So she's a captain of her own fleet right now, and we get all of the whatever passed for badass female characters throughout the series. Like, in the first one, I know Zoe Saldana was in it, so she's going to come back. I'm pretty sure I saw Penelope Cruz on the poster to one of the movies.
Yeah. There was an all-star one, like three, I think.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So she's going to be part of this crew, too. Like, they're all going to have their own ships. We're going to bring in some new people, like maybe Lupita Nyong'o. Maybe Charlize Theron, like,
and she has been popping up in everything.
Oh yeah, and their whole thing is they're just talking business. They've heard messages about all this crazy shit going on in the Caribbean. They're like, we're too smart for that. We're capitalists. We're here to make some money. We're here to take advantage of these stupid men, and we're gonna have a nice sequence that really just passes the fuck out of the Bechdel test.
Solid.
So you've explicitly wrote this in. This is not like by chance.
No. You want this to happen. Going to happen, and I'll tell you why. Because in the fucking first movie,
here we go.
The only goddamn capable person is Keira Knightley.
Yep.
And it's not just like she doesn't just charm her father. She doesn't just charm Norrington. She also knows about being a fucking pirate, can sail, saves their lives.
Weird because she's royalty, right? She's actually like the...
They're like a lord. He's like a governor or something.
Yeah, yeah, but she's surprisingly hands-on for what I imagine her actual historical life would have been like, yeah.
Yeah, well, and so she does all this really awesome shit. She drives the plot. She's the only reason any of these men survive. And then at the end of the first fucking movie, it's Orlando Bloom puts on a giant stupid hat and jumps off a pier with Johnny Depp, and now they're pirates. And like, yeah.
That's another question. I don't recall there being any other female characters in Pirates 1.
Yeah.
Maybe? Do any of these movies pass the Bechdel test? I'm pretty sure they don't.
I can't imagine that they do.
Yeah.
And it's about goddamn time that changes, since they are, in the first movie, Keira Knightley is the only character who would survive that movie.
By sheer common sense, yeah.
Yeah. Like
ability and knowledge and common sense.
Yeah. So they're like, we're going to go off and kill Barbossa. And she's like, I'm going to just hang out. You guys fuck off, whatever.
No, that's the thing, is none of them want to go. Like, they hear, like, oh, there's crazy shit happening in the Caribbean. Like, all these British ships are being attacked. And, like, all these pirates that we used to know are getting attacked. And it's like, it doesn't matter. So when we see them, like, talk about their business dealings for like a quick scene, because that's going to plant some seeds for later in the movie.
Okay.
But eventually we get a scene where someone's like, hey, Kira, you know that like Jack is back and so is Barbossa. And she's like, I still don't care. Jack has caused like, and here's something that I do know about the movies. I know that Orlando Bloom is like the captain of a ghost ship now or something.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
Okay. So she's like, I don't care. I don't care if they both die. Like, my husband is gone forever because of these assholes.
This is the real world, and you can't be married to a ghost.
Yeah.
God damn it.
They took away the dumbest man on earth, who I love for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I'll watch them die, and I'll laugh while I make money off of a bunch of other stupid fucking men trying to kill each other.
I do like how practical you've gone with this, but it makes for a terrible plot. But like, it's enjoyable to switch it up every once in a while, I guess.
Well, and that's where the turn comes in, because someone says, you know, it's not just Jack and Barbossa, your son is there too.
Bum, bum, bum!
And she's like, no, my son is off doing whatever. It's like, no, your son is with Jack. He's trying to find his father. And she's like, shit, I never told him that his dad was a ghost.
I knew this day would come.
I rue the day. Ghost dad. The less...
Oh, shit.
Yeah, the less sad version.
Ooh,
now
crossover. All right.
Yeah. So now she realizes, okay, well, I have to go. And her associates, like all the other captains, they don't want to do it because they know this is stupid. We don't want to drag ourselves into something that's not going to affect us, but we understand. Like, we'll send you with your crew. We'll ask our crews if anyone wants to help. Like, we'll support you, but we're probably never going to see you again. And she's like, I gotta go. Okay. So
we're now, back in pirates reality now.
Where now we go
anything
back.
Can happen.
Yeah. Now we go back to where the pirates are happening.
Yeah.
So. We've still got this cat and mouse game that was happening in the background. It's come to a head. It's back to that original cave in the first movie where they did the moonlight bullshit.
Mm.
Because Barbossa knows that Jack is going to go somewhere that he thinks Barbossa would never chase him. And he's like, he thinks I'll never go there because this is the place where I died for the first fucking time, I guess. And he's... So they end up there trapped. And, like, this whole time, you know, Bloomer has been pretty competent because he's learned all his shit from his mom.
Yeah.
Sure.
And he's like, Jack, what are you idiot? You keep getting it. And he's like, oh, Sevi, blah, 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 bullshit, you know.
That was a wonderful impression.
Thank you. I worked really hard on it. So we're set for this huge final battle. And who comes in? Norrington shows up with the whole goddamn armada.
You just told us that we never saw him again, you liar.
Seth, you still there?
Uh-oh. Yeah. Technical difficulties.
Yep.
So, he shows up with the whole armada, because we didn't sink his ship before.
Yeah.
They just got away through magic.
This is probably the first, maybe second time in the movie we're hearing that dun dun da da dun dun da da dun dun.
Yeah, the old thing. That old score. That old score is coming back.
If you went opening night to this, that's when everybody claps and it's like a whole thing. And
Yeah.
Okay.
And everybody
is that Danny Elfman? Did he write that?
Is it Danny Elfman or is it Hans Zimmer?
Oh yeah.
It is somebody famous, I think, yeah.
Who neither of whom sound the same, but either one of them could have done that score.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah.
So now we've got this giant fucking battle, and just for the time being, Barbossa like turns his cannons on Norrington because this asshole has been deserving comeuppance since minute two of the movie when he creeps out on teenage Keira Knightley. So
that's true.
Yeah, fair point.
They're fighting, and like it's kind of a stalemate until Keira Knightley shows up with her crew, and they basically just like blow the British out of the water. Because it's Disney, they don't die, but like, you know, they're out of the fight.
Yeah.
And that's when Javier Bardem shows up.
I forgot he was in this.
See, that's the thing. He's the monster that we don't see that much.
Okay.
Yeah. He's like Jaws.
Well, yeah, but you don't forget Jaws is in Jaws because the movie's called Jaws.
Okay, we could call this Pirates of the Caribbean. Javier Bardem's here, don't forget.
Yeah. Pirates of the Caribbean, : remember this guy? He was a Bond villain. Yeah, go ahead.
He did really good in a lot of movies. This is where he finally shows up. And before, like, Barbossa was commanding what we thought was some of his crew, but, like, now he's got his real fucking crew. And he's just rolling over everybody, and you've got this whole like might of the sea coming up because he is like working with Neptune's powers, and they have basically, he's like, you know, I hate pirates, I'm killing all these pirates, you're all pirates, you're all gonna die. And that's when they're all together, and the three factions who were fighting the British have stayed together to fight the ocean, I guess, basically. Because if we're going to go supernatural, we're going to go all the fucking way.
All right.
And it gets to be, since Barbossa has been, like, ghosting it up for four movies, he knows a little bit about the weird goings-on of ocean politics. Like...
ocean politics or like ocean physics or
they're on like in some turn of events all the main characters have ended up on a command ship together more or less. So we got Keira Knightley, we got Barbossa, we got Jack stumbling around drunk, and we got Bloomer, and they're all fighting. And Barbossa's like, you know, this is Neptune's doing, this has nothing to do with Javier Bardem. And she looks at him. Keira Knightley looks at Barbossa, and he looks at her, and it's like, you thinking what I'm thinking? And they yell for a parlay.
Of course.
Call back to the first movie, when she calls for a parlay to meet with him.
Yep.
So Neptune, and Javier Bardem's like, parlay, that means nothing to me. I am no pirate. And then Neptune rises up. He's like, I am a pirate, or some bullshit like that. And like, maybe it's Brian Blessed. Because I really wanted it to be Brian Blessed.
Okay, solid choice.
I would have said Anthony Hopkins, but he already plays Odin, so, like, you know.
No, we don't want to mix our pantheons.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to have to call Greece back again. It's a whole thing.
Oh, yeah. So, in this kind of moment, like, you know, the ocean is standing at a wall, and it's just kind of, like, turning over itself, because it's about to destroy all their ships.
Yep.
And Barbossa asks, like, what is it that you want? And he goes, Jack Sparrow, Neptune says this, needs to pay for all his sins. Because I don't care if Jack is supposed to be the hero, he is the most evil character in all of these stories.
Oh, by far.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's the cause of most of the bullshit, like, without a doubt. Yeah.
And this is finally when Jack, like, understands what's happening. Like, you see the veil drop, and he's like, he immediately sobers up, and he realizes how much pain he's caused all these characters over the course of these movies.
Wow. So Jack has a come to Jesus moment. How unexpected. Wow. All right.
Yeah.
And he comes, and he goes up to Neptune, you know, and he's like, you can have me, but I have a deal for you. And he's like, what is it? What, you could do nothing. Like, you don't deserve anything. He's like, I don't deserve anything, but Orlando Bloom does. I'll take his place as the ghost pirate if you let him go back to his family. And at this point, Orlando Bloom's son, like, even though Jack is an asshole, he likes him. He doesn't want to see him go. But at the same time, he wants his dad back, you know? Yeah, and he wants for his mother, if no one else. And
that was the whole point of the quest. Makes sense. Yeah.
So Neptune is like, yeah, I've got what I want. We can do that. I think we could make an arrangement. And then Javier Bardem's like, what's going on? This is crazy. Like, I thought I was going to get vengeance. And he's like, I only needed you to get Jack Sparrow. And, like, then through some thing, like, Javier Bardem tries to attack Neptune. And then you see that big power of the ocean come back and destroy Javier Bardem. And he's just buried beneath the waves forever.
As a
for real dead thing now.
He was a stage one ghost, and now he's like a stage four ghost.
Now he's just a ghost.
Yeah. If he's got sons, it's gonna take four of them to bring him back.
Yes.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's gonna be like
he's four.
It's a whole offshoot. Yeah. Quadrilogy. Oh god, the money.
Okay. Oh, so much movie potential.
Yeah.
So you see this ship kind of roll up over the horizon. It's Orlando Bloom. And he gets off his boat, and he's with his family, and then Jack, like, goes to get on the boat, and Barbossa's like, hey, wait, do you need a first mate?
Ooh.
And it's like, yeah, mate, come back with me. How about...
It's like, oh, the voice acting follow-up career is strong.
And instead of a first mate, he's like, how about we both be captain, or something stupid like that, and then, like, Barbossa eats an apple, and we don't explain why he can eat now, but, like, you know, he made some sort of sacrifice, so he's good again, I guess.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. It doesn't matter, yeah.
So, that's basically the end of Jack's story. Then we see the reunited family, and, like, now what do we do? And he's like, well, I deserted the military, I can't go back to England, and they're like, yeah, I mean, she goes, I can't go back. Oh, by the way, her friend showed up for this final battle, and I totally forgot about that.
No, that, I think it was implied.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a Pirates movie, of course.
Yeah, yeah. They changed their mind, and we get to see some kick-ass stuff from them. Yeah.
It's a Han Solo in the Falcon kind of moment.
Like, perfect. Yeah, exactly.
Need a Deus Ex Machina just...
Right.
Just everywhere.
They show up and they hold off the bad guys just long enough for them to come up with their idea. How about that?
Sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So then we see the family and it's like, oh, well, Keira Knightley goes, you know, I've been selling some supplies to these people up in Boston and I think they might be able to use our help. Boom. They start the American Navy for the American Revolution.
Okay.
Well, yeah. I will say, you said you wanted to put a decisive stop to this movie franchise.
Yeah.
You are very much doing the opposite here.
No. Like, we're wrapping up all the stories, but we're leaving it open just in case.
Okay, we already decided you left four Javier Bardem movies on the table.
Yeah.
And now we're starting the American Navy? Like, god damn it. You can't not cash in on that.
I didn't even tell you my post-credits scene.
Oh, Christ. Okay.
So the post-credits scene is years later, and Bloom and Keira Knightley are, like, sitting on some porch looking out, you know, at a mountain. So not by the ocean.
And this is, like, post-American Revolution.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we've had so many adventures. It's time we can finally just be at home and enjoy our years, our final years together. And they're silent for a few seconds. And then Keira Knightley goes, you know, though, I've never seen the Pacific. And then the Pirates of the Caribbean music plays again.
Dun, 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 dun.
And
that's wonderful.
That is Pirates of the Caribbean 5.
The last one. 6 through 10, yeah. Oh, man. Okay, I have two very quick comments.
Yeah.
One... Looking at the timestamps, that took you exactly 30 minutes.
Wow.
And it was, I would say, that is a true testament to the actual movie as far as how convoluted you made it. And then I'd like to propose a new segment where Seth and I, at the same time, from the scale of 1 to 10, say how close we thought you got it based on no information. So, like, it's not, you're never going to get it like a 10 on a scale where it's like you literally read the movie. But, like, how good did he do at matching it apropos of no knowledge?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, do you want me to count you guys in?
Yeah. Do 1, 2, 3, go, and let's say. Mm-hmm.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, go.
10.
Like 9.5. Yes.
Yeah. That I feel like I was trying to send Google Hangouts vibes to Seth for the first like 10 minutes of that.
Yeah.
You fucking nailed pretty much every single point. It was unbelievable.
Dude. It was uncanny.
Yeah. And like you went off the rails a little bit with like so Keira Knightley's barely in this movie.
But, yeah, I kind of figured. Yeah.
Yeah, but like with the rest of it, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, did you know? So you said Neptune and Poseidon, but like, so Poseidon is like a main thing in this movie.
Jesus Christ! No, I didn't fucking know that.
Oh my God.
Okay. Let me read you the IMDb like one sentence description.
Yeah. The quick and dirty.
Captain Jack Sparrow searches for the Trident of Poseidon while being pursued by an undead sea captain and his crew.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Norrington. Well, it's not Norrington, but the Navy's chasing after him. Fucking Barbosa's chasing after him. Javier Bardem's chasing after it. Like, you got it so close.
It was... God, that was nuts.
Yeah. Remarkable.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a blockbuster. They're pretty formulaic.
Well, I like to... So, going into this, you said, like, man, I'm going to just knock this out of the park. But, like, inadvertently, you just wrote Pirates of the Caribbean 5.
Yeah, I guess if it was really close, my version was not better. It was just the same.
Yeah. All right. So, Seth and I talked about this a little. I think he's got a whole bunch of points. So I'll let you lead off, Seth. Go ahead.
Okay. So I basically – oh, first off, I'll say that I did not pay to see this movie. I watched
– You made the right choice. Yes.
I watched a Chinese bootleg on a streaming site, and sometimes the fidelity wasn't so great, and there's like an after credit scene that just didn't exist because it was on like a shaky cam. It was a guy holding up a camera recording the whole thing.
So the after credit one, they were getting up and leaving is what you're saying.
Yeah. Or something. I don't know. They just stopped.
Sure.
Okay. So beyond that, man, I hated this movie. I hated it so much. Okay, so I have a list of the things that I either hated or one thing that I liked.
So 16 and then 1 is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm gonna run through that right now. And it's in no particular order because I kept remembering things that I hated like later in the movie. So one of the characters is like a horologist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't stop making that freaking horology joke. They're like, horology, blah, 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 blah.
At least 5 times.
That's good family fun, is what that is.
I was so frustrated. And also, while watching this movie, quote unquote, I was folding laundry. So,
yeah.
It was... Okay.
It's fair.
So there are, at some point, there's like a little armada of zombie sharks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I really like the diversity of that. They had like a great white shark and a hammerhead and what kind of looked like a basking shark. I wasn't really sure.
Yep. Have we reached the point in history where we're okay with sharks being bad guys again? Are they not endangered anymore? Is that what happened? Like,
yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, they are, but yeah, they were decidedly evil in this movie. So.
What does that say of us as a society? The sharks can't even be villains anymore.
I mean, I won't eat their fins in soup, but fuck them. I don't want them swimming in my waters. Yeah.
I literally ate shark with you last year.
Oh, yeah. That's different, though. We only ate the one. We didn't, like, drive them to extinction.
It was not shark fin soup.
It's a gray area. Let's move on.
All right, so I'm gonna read most of the rest of these just verbatim of what I typed down in my notes.
Oh, is it like a fever dream? I hope it is.
So, Javier Bardem, weird murder reminiscing. I couldn't understand what the hell Sparrow was saying for like 15 minutes because it was nothing but drunk slurs.
Yep. Hey, yeah, so they really laid it on this time. Like, it's been bad, but oof.
Have you guys heard this this story that apparently is 100% true? One of the reasons Johnny Depp is so in debt right now is because he spends like 30 grand a year paying a sound engineer, because when he makes movies now, he just wears an earpiece and has someone feed him his lines so he doesn't have to memorize them.
Oh. Yeah, I heard that.
Is it because he's like a raging alcoholic now?
I don't know, maybe.
I've seen that video. It's not great. Yeah. It's not great.
I mean, we can all agree that he's a piece of garbage.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's getting worse. Yeah. okay, so next on the list is Sparrow's Uncanny Survival by Accidents.
Oh. Well, that's a premise of all these movies, but yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
It does not get less irritating. That's fair.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Taking off a bank edifice in order to rob it?
That was my number one point about this movie. So, all right, describe, Seth, no, that is full insanity. And in a world of just where insanity is normal, yeah. Seth, please describe this scene. It's madness.
Oh, well, again, the video wasn't super great, but in order to steal a safe, they literally just, like, blow off the front of an edifice, and it's, like, dragged behind a cart by two horses, maybe?
Yep. Yeah, so they hook a, I'd say, 8 horses. Like, okay. Not enough horses. Like, 8 horsepower worth, let's say.
Okay.
Up to a safe inside a bank with ropes. Mm-hmm. And the plan is, yeah, go ahead.
I say, can I play devil's advocate real quick?
Sure.
Yeah, why not?
What's everyone's favorite Fast and Furious movie?
Well, you're going for 5, it's Fast 5. Obviously. Yeah.
Yeah.
How is this
But
different?
They had cars. They had, like, 1,000 horsepower. These guys had 8.
Yeah. Yeah. This wasn't, like, stupid old-timey. Yeah, if Fast 5 had been, like, them riding around on stagecoaches.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so they hook the ropes up to the safe, and they think they're going to rip the safe out of the bank. Whoops, they rip the whole bank out of the bank. And then they drag it around this town for, I don't know, what do you think, 10, 15 minutes?
Yeah, yeah, at least.
See, what you're describing sounds delightful.
I mean, it was a good romp, but you do, it goes on for so long that eventually you go like, oh, wow, we're still doing this.
Okay. Yeah, cool. I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Anyway, go on.
Okay, so next up, what is the plot, really? Save Will Turner?
Wait, all right, when would you say in the movie that you wrote that down? like, I'm going to guess early if we're at the bank scene.
Yeah, pretty early. Yeah.
Wait, they pretty do early. That bank scene early in the movie?
Oh, it's like the first scene.
It's like maybe first or second scene, yeah.
Jesus
yeah.
Christ.
Yeah. I think Javier Bardem is trying to get revenge on fire.
Like, just like on the element of fire?
Yeah, it seems like that.
Oh, all right, okay.
He was cool. So angry at that fire that made him a ghost.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Awesome caterpillar centipede ghost ship.
Yeah.
That was the only part of the movie I liked.
Yeah, the Bardem ship, like, can swallow other ships by, like, becoming a caterpillar thing. It's pretty dope.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. That sounds pretty dope, actually. Yeah. Yeah.
It was cool.
Okay, so, I just lost my my notes. Okay, yeah. Here it is. Let's see. Marrying off a larger woman, ridiculous, horrible trope to marry off undesirable women.
Oh, that does super happen, yeah.
I was so annoyed. That was so awful. Like, why does that keep happening? You're like, oh, I have this unlovable sister.
Yeah.
I have to marry her off.
I want to say that even happened, like, in a previous Pirates movie where somebody shows up at the dock and they're like, you're Jack's wife now. And he goes, like, and that's exactly what happens in this one, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, so much like my version of the movie, there's a lot of callbacks in this one.
Oh, my God.
Oh, very much, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Flipping over a sailboat with the sail open is a nearly impossible task. And yes, I know the ship just came out of a bottle. I don't care. Have you ever tried to write a sailboat on its side? Ridiculous.
So we're getting into some expertise territory here, I'm taking it.
And then the last note I have is, she's Barbossa's daughter?
Yeah.
How original.
Who is Barbossa's daughter?
The horologist.
Yes.
Oh, so there's another female character that I didn't account for.
There is. I don't think she talks to any of the other ones. Oh, I looked it up today. This movie does not pass the Bechdel test. So.
Oh, fancy that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pirates movie. Of course it doesn't.
Yeah. So, Lee, you said like Jack shows up on some janky-ass ship. Even more insane than that, he's carrying around the Black Pearl in a tiny bottle in his pocket.
Yeah.
And then he decides, okay, now we're going to redeem this whole situation. And so he lets it out, and it just like putting water on one of those foam dinosaur things, it just grows into a normal size ship.
That's
yep.
So stupid.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb.
So they went really full magic on this one.
Oh, yeah. It's fully insane. Yeah.
Oh, no, it's been full magic since like the second one,
which yeah, I haven't that's seen. True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I feel like though you were following the plot of this movie pretty much to a T, you also were just describing the plot of every single Pirates movie. Like, all of those things you said have already happened in earlier movies.
Right.
At least once.
Yeah. But I mean, that is kind of the deal, though, right? Like,
I mean, when I started, I did mention that George Lucas was kind of my inspiration for this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that checks out.
Oh.
Yeah, so I guess to add to that, I don't know how you got Poseidon and Neptune. That's bananas crazy. but yeah, so that's a big thing. And also at the end, so you really nailed the beginning and you really nailed the end. Like at the end, they literally part the ocean and go down and try to retrieve the trident and all this shit. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, people end up dying and whatnot, and it's a whole thing. One of the main things that... So this happened in, I think, 4? I believe it was 4, which is definitely the worst of these. There's too many villains. There's just too much going on.
Yeah.
Like, in this movie, Javier Bardem is like, the villain. But so is Jeffrey Rush. Barbossa's not a teammate. He's actually still like an enemy. Okay, they so kind of team up.
An individual,
but not really.
Unique villain.
Yeah. And then the British Navy, again, shows up and sticks around. Mm-hmm. And then Poseidon in the ocean is like arguably sort of an enemy. Like, it's just madness. There's nothing fucking explaining any of this.
Yeah, so, dear listener, it may seem like we're not describing the plot in a linear fashion. But that's because the plot doesn't unfold in a linear fashion.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah,
there's so many threads happening all over the place. Yep. And I couldn't keep it straight, even though I obviously wasn't paying attention because I already...
I saw this in the movie theaters because, again, I genuinely like this series. And even then I was like, I got to do that again because I got nothing. This is madness. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty
bad.
What's the IMDb rating for this movie?
Oh, that's a really good question. Yeah,
it is a 7 out of 10.
That seems generous, I would say.
That is extremely generous.
Yeah.
So, what would each of you give the real version of the movie?
What do you think?
Two.
Two is like a Sharknado 3. That's pretty low.
Yeah, maybe I'm too harsh. So I'll give it a 2.3.
Okay.
It just didn't make any sense, guys.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. I'm gonna go like a solid 6. I think it was. If you buy into the whole thing, I think it was pretty enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what do you give my version?
Given that it was pretty much exactly the same movie, though, I mean, you do have, you know, this other side plot that wasn't existent, so I'll give it a 5.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, I was gonna say same thing, so it gotta be a 6, right? Like, No, it's... I truly did not expect the closeness of your version.
Yeah, it is... That is insanity.
Yeah. Oh boy. All right. I think
any stray thoughts about this movie that we want to bring up?
I think if anybody is planning on watching this movie, probably the best way to watch it is a Chinese bootleg.
With or without laundry? Probably with, right?
Yeah, probably with laundry. Yeah. And you spend a lot of time trying to read the Chinese subtitles, just, you know, looking for words that show up over and over and over again. Because, yeah, it's so much more interesting than the movie itself.
Seems about right, yeah. Mm. I actually, I will be curious. I can only assume they're going to drag this out for another four or five movies. Like, I don't think they're stopping here, right?
I think they made a statement that this was the beginning of the end or something.
Oh, okay. God.
So there's, like, two more slated, I think. I'm not sure.
Okay. But,
I mean, until they stop making money, they're not going to stop making them.
Yeah, so I looked this up. It cost $320 million. It made $654 million. Like, there's no way you stop making that. That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
Not if I have anything to say about it. Mm. Yeah. All right. So I think that's the end of this one. Next time, I think we're going to do Escape from New York.
Yeah, this will be... Zach, you have no idea what goes on in this movie?
I know the guy's name is Snake. Right?
That's true.
Yeah.
Yep.
That is the extent of my knowledge, other than it probably takes place in New York. Yeah.
Do you want actors, or...
I think we can figure that out for next time.
Yeah, yeah. I think I want to also say it's Kurt Russell. Am I right about that?
Yes, it is.
Okay, yeah. So maybe a few more actors, but yeah, I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be good.
All right. So,
well, until next time.
Yeah.
This has been Faking Movies.
Yeah, and our tagline still is Seth's was better.
Oh, like, Seth's was, so far, Seth's is best.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
All right.
And if you guys enjoy the show, please like, share, and subscribe. Give us a rating on iTunes, because apparently things, right?
Yeah, and we might be on Stitcher ever in a year or something. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's goodbye from all of us here.
Yep. Till next time.
Bye.